from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Welcome in. A very happy Monday to you. Gwen and Chris kicking off another week here on San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. All three of us together in the Odyssey Palace Studios right here in San Diego, California, where the Padres have returned home after maybe the greatest road trip in franchise history. I don't know statistically if it was the greatest road trip in franchise history. They've probably gone 7-2 before, Tony, 8-1 maybe. But considering the teams they beat and getting off to the start they did the second half of the season, it is a wonderful time to be a Padre and a Padre fan. They have the day off today. They will take on the Dodgers, starting a 2-game series against the Blue Crew tomorrow at Petco Park.
But I'm not sure where it was at statistically, but it felt like the longest road trip.
The longest. Ever. Yeah, but I was saying one of the greatest. I mean, to win 7 in a row, beat the best team in the American League 2 out of 3 twice, because Cleveland was the best team in the American League and Baltimore was the best team in the American League. They beat both of them. And the only thing yesterday's loss was keep it from being really off the charts.
No, I was off the charts.
I thought that, it was off the charts. I thought Jerks and Profar there in the 9th inning, Tony, he doubles up against the fence, drives in all 3 runs, and Rod Manfred just comes out and hands him the MVP trophy right there. he didn't do it.
And he says, hey, Jerickson.
Congratulations, Jerickson. Your season has been magical. It's been magical anyway, even without him doubling off the fence. I mean, he won the game for us on Friday night. This guy just, I don't know what more he can do. But this is a road trip. It's got to be the greatest of all time. Tony, you go 7-2, but it also included a no-hitter on the trip. It included, exciting comeback win after exciting comeback win. And considering the teams they did it against, just fantastic. I don't know if anybody expected, quite this to kick off the second half of the season. Xander Bogaerts has hardly made an out since he's come back. And yesterday did make 3 outs, but he also hit 1 out. And they almost came back from 6-0 down. And Jake Cronenworth said after the game, he was like down in the dumps after the game, like really disappointed, but not for long, but just long enough to realize they're playing so well right now that a 6-0 deficit in Baltimore was something they almost feel like they should have, overcome. And that gives you an idea right now where they're at.
Confidence is high, for sure. Yeah. I think we got to go back to see, you know, when Joe threw his no-no. I know the Padres swept the Rangers in that series. Have to see what they did on the rest of that road trip. But
I'm on it.
Yeah, the confidence is high right now. I don't think there's really any other way to look at it. This team had unbelievable starting pitching.
Unbelievable.
During the course of this road trip, there were only two games in which they didn't have a starter go five or more. Yeah. And you know, I just think this team is coming together, and they're not even healthy yet.
Still not 100%
healthy.
Still not 100%
They are largely doing this. Obviously, Profar is having that type of year. The addition of Arraez, Manny starting to swing the bat. But outside of that, it's largely been guys that have had to fill in some way, shape, or form, right? Kyle Gashioka initially got to, you know, play more because Capisano's thumb, right? And then he just hasn't relinquished it since. Donovan Solano, I mean, doesn't play for three games, and then they put him in the lineup, and it's like, doesn't miss a beat. You know, Dave Peralta, another one. He's contributed on a number of occasions in on this road trip. And that is the type of, you know, play that you've gotten from literally everybody.
literally everybody. I mean, the pitching staff.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Next.
You talked about the starting pitching ERA on this road trip was 1.44 going into that game yesterday. Now, finally, Vasquez gave a little ground in that third inning, and six runs were charged to him. So that skewed the ERA quite a bit. But you get a 1.44 ERA over eight games on the road against elite teams. The Nationals aren't elite, but the other two were certainly elite teams. You get a 1.44, and you do it while your number one and number two pitchers on paper are both on the disabled list or on the inactive list.
Yeah.
So how deep is this staff? I mean, you've got three guys right now that are pitching as well as anybody in baseball in Cease, King, and Waldron, and that on paper is your 3, 4, 5 guys.
It's amazing, and I think you brought this up earlier at one point. It's amazing that this is why I personally think it's pointless to try to predict how things are going to happen. Just when you think you know, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. I mean, we came into the season worried about left field, worried about the starting rotation as a whole, right? Then
did we have a closer at the beginning of the season? We weren't sure.
You're right. We weren't sure. We weren't sure about it at all. And now, you know, I would say the two, three strongest places on the team have been in left field and have been in that starting rotation, minus the two guys that you just finished saying. Just finished talking about in Joe and you. And then, you know, this team is just, I don't know. I said going into the break that I thought they had borderline overachieved given the circumstances of who's been out and where they were wins-loss-wise. And now, you know, they come out to start the second half, and they hit the ground running. And that was the thing I think we were hoping for. It was, all right, they kind of went into the break on fumes there. They looked like they were running out of gas there. They get the break, and I mean, the first day wasn't great, obviously. That one, and that final score ended up looking a lot crazier than it was. Remember, it was a 1-0 game going into the eighth. But to go 7-2 against the quality of teams, you know, that's a good road trip. And now, much like it was the time the Padres had the previous time where they had the good road trip, they came home and they added to it. They got to do the same thing here. I mean, obviously, you got the Dodgers rolling into town for two games. You're going to have, you know, tough matchups there. And then you got the Rockies, who last time they came to town.
Oh, really?
Last time. Matter of fact, I think last time they came to town, we were feeling pretty good about The Padres and what they had done on the road trip.
I believe one of the hosts on this radio station, I don't want to name his name.
Chris Hill.
I believe he said that the Rockies wouldn't score a run in that series.
I believe that same host had the open made out of that clip.
I have a short memory, so I don't remember.
You don't remember who that was?
No,
yeah,
I
think it was Elston or somebody like that. Can't quite remember.
I have a short memory. But again, you got to come home now. And keep to it.
Yeah, you do. You do. And it's the first two games against the Dodgers are going to be, you know, I don't want to say playoff feel because it's not. It's still, you know, July. But the pitching matchups are really good. I mean, you've got Glass now and Waldron tomorrow night. And then you've got Cease, you know, going up against Kershaw on Wednesday. Those are two really marquee matchups. And you don't even need marquee matchups to make the Dodgers series extra special.
You don't.
But you've got them anyway. You got the Dodgers, you know, at the edge of your sights now. They're 6.5 behind. I don't really think you need to worry about that. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Win your games. You're going to be in the postseason if you do. And you know, but on the other side of all of that, still six teams in the wild card within two games of each other.
I was going to say, the only bad part...
That's the only thing. They haven't really separated to a point where they can just relax.
The only bad part about this road trip was that everybody else kept winning, too. The Diamondbacks kept winning. Giants found a way to win some games in there. The Cardinals. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that are, as you said, they're not going away. And I think that is the evidence behind that. Is the temperature of this trade deadline, and we're going to get into that a little bit.
Yes, but we will.
I don't know how much you guys have talked about it, but you know the Padres went out and they make an acquisition. Jason Adams come to the Padres, and the price tag is what I think caught everybody's eye, and it's not a surprise to me. Going back to what we just finished talking about. Given that so many teams are in it.
That was live reaction for me when I saw what happened.
The peanut gallery is really shocked by this.
It was shocking. But
The reality is because all these teams are in it.
Yes,
they're making the same phone calls.
Right. Padres weren't the only ones that wanted Jason Adam.
No.
Clearly.
No.
And so in order to get him, they had to give up a little bit more. Yeah, we'll get into trade deadline for sure, Tony, because a lot of moves are being made today. Justin Turner has just gone, and the Dodgers have made their first splash into the trade.
I'll leave you with this, and we'll save the rest of the topic for a different segment.
But yeah.
If the price tag was that for Jason Adam, and notice there hasn't been a starting pitcher traded to this point.
Right, just one. Eric Fetty went in a 7-player deal, ends up on the Cardinals. Okay. So we'll tell you about that in a little bit. But yeah,
I'm saying if we're talking about a tier above Fetty,
yeah, I know
the price tag is
too high,
probably astronomical right now.
Astronomical because there's everybody's in on it, and you're right. The trade deadline I think has been largely quiet. You know, we've had a few big names moved. We'll discuss that for sure, and we're going to be all over the trade deadline anyway. Yeah. If anything happens today, first of all, you'll get it here. We'll let you know. I mean, if anything comes down between now and 6 o'clock, Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, is going to be on the show today. We know how well connected he is. So if he's hearing anything, he'll pass it along to us in about a half an hour. But just a little programming note, tomorrow, on the actual trade deadline day, Tony will be down at the ballpark, but he'll be on the show. Myself and Scraby will be here, but also Kyle Glazer, the former insider for Baseball America, who's still very well connected, obviously. He's going to be in studio with us tomorrow. And anything he's hearing and anything that happens, he'll be here to help us break that down tomorrow. So you're not going to miss anything on the trade deadline. But back to the Padres for a second. Talked about this log jam. Braves right now are the wild card leader. Padres are only one game behind them. The Mets are 1.5. The Diamondbacks are 2. The Cardinals are 2.5. And the Pirates are 3.5. That is 6 teams where the whole order can change in one series.
Really?
So you've got 6 teams. The Giants, after winning 4 in a row over the Rockies, doing what you're supposed to do to the Rockies when they come to your park, are on the just the outside of that. 3.5 back of a wild card spot. So it's you've got to keep winning, But at the same time, I don't think you can put any extra pressure on yourself. Go out, do what you do, you know, and keep getting this kind of pitching, this kind of hitting. Those are the two things that seem to go together when you're winning ball games like this.
I mean, for now, the Padres should only worry about what they've
That's
been
right.
worried about. Because yeah. they've played really well. When you watch the team, like, they have an identity. I mean, when you watch this team, you know when they're at their best. We're going to talk about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pitch at bats up and down the lineup. Your starter's going to be taxed, and they're going to stay up the middle of the field, and that's served them best. They haven't worried about standings, and in some ways, you know, being so far out early kind of forces you kind of just to focus on what you have in front of you when you're, you know, 8, 9, 10 games out early. And they should just stay the course. They're playing good baseball right now. Now, you know, can they continue to get 1.44 starting pitching ERA style? I mean, can they continue that
no.
pace? I don't think so.
I don't think anybody can continue that. But it really is something outstanding to see. And you talk about the position they're in is this. They have now won road series this year. In Cleveland, Baltimore, Dodgers, Arizona, Atlanta, Kansas City. Those are all playoff-type teams.
Yeah.
And the Padres have gone into each of those places and won a series. That has got to, you know, at some point show up in the standings as you move forward. But in order to make it all work, as you said, you've got to come home and take care of business. And to that end, the Dodgers and Rockies, and we'll talk about those two series, but probably not until tomorrow. I'm just, I got one really good. I had a little trip this weekend up to Northern California. I got one really funny quip on Facebook from somebody. I put some pictures of Lori and I up at, it was in Carmel, California, Pebble Beach. I had a picture of Pebble Beach in the background. The guy wrote, "Padres have won 7 in a row, Chris. Stay there."
I agree. Why did you come home? You were on your way home yesterday, and guess what happened? They lost.
I know. I came home yesterday, and they lost. So it is incredible the power you all think that we have, and I appreciate that you think we have that kind of power. If it really worries you, everybody can pool some money together. Ship me back out for another week somewhere. I'll be more than happy to go there. But anyway, in the meantime, we're looking forward to hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. We will talk about this Jason Adam deal when we come back. We'll give you the latest on the baseball trades that have been made today. Like I said, the Dodgers have finally done something. Our old friend Tommy Pham is on the move. Not here. We'll talk about where he's going, some other late-breaking trade developments coming up when we return. Gwen and Chris, happy to be with you. Happy to be back in town on a Monday, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sometimes I really do understand where Chris is coming from in terms of the technology and iPads. Currently, you know, I'm trying to get to my Google Doc.
Not happening?
Yeah, it's not happening. I can't remember a password for an account that I don't even use anymore. That's how long I got. So now I'm like stuck not knowing what's actually on the rundown, but I'm going to figure it out at some
point. My least favorite thing is the fact that the Odyssey Palace makes me change my password every 90 days.
I know.
It takes me 89 days to learn it.
So, I have to change
and then
tomorrow.
On the 90th, I have to change
this
it.
This is how stubborn I am. You know, all of our computers and devices now, whenever that happens, will give you a randomized password that your computer... I have resisted for, it's been probably going on, Apple's been doing this probably for about 3-4 years, at least I can, I've been resisting doing the computer password until now. Like you have one too many change your passwords like in a matter of a week's time. You're like, you know what? I can't keep, and you can't use the password that you were using the time before.
That's right. That's another issue.
And so, I start running out of ideas. So, now I'm at the point where I let the computer come up with the crazy password.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you type in X,
no,
J, number 5, asterisk, 4,
underscore.
Yeah, something that is completely impossible to decipher.
The beauty behind the idea is I don't have to remember. The computer already has
I see.
And it just,
Okay.
You know, a trick to remember a password, if you ever want to create a random one, is you use letters and you basically write a sentence and then use the first letter from each word in the sentence to do your little thing. So,
That's a lot.
I love you would be 1LY,
It's not enough. It's got to be 8 characters.
Well, I know that. I was just kidding.
A symbol and a number needs to be involved in there too, buddy. It's a lot. It's a lot.
All right, I was just trying to help.
All right, let's get into some deadline talk. Already movement happening. We were talking about the price tags that seem like they're pretty high. I haven't talked to anybody, but just like at a glance, Jason Adam for the 3 that were given up, and I've learned that Lasko hadn't been throwing the ball well. His command is kind of...
I've read that too, but who knows?
I just know my initial reaction was, dang, that seems like a lot.
Yeah, Homer Bush's name was a guy that, we were thinking about for the future. Lasko also. The catcher, not so much, but, You know, it's three guys. Look, the thing is will any of those three make the major leagues and ever contribute to the Tampa Bay Rays? Who knows? One thing I do know is that Jason Adam will be contributing to this now.
I was about to say, we do know the percentages of these trades say, a high percentage of these trades say, that the Padres will get the best of this because they got the guy.
They got a guy.
That's ready now.
And he's been, he's a lights-out type reliever, too. You can't have too many guys. I mean, Suarez has got the ninth inning. Estrada's been locking down the eighth, but give me Jason Adam to lock down the eighth also. And then give me somebody else for the seventh who I don't use in the eighth.
I think
you've got to have a great bullpen. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the Phillies. I know we're just trying to get into the playoffs right now, but eventually you're going to have to run up against the Phillies probably. They just added Estevez to a bullpen that already has a couple of all-stars and Matt Strom and Jeff Hoffman. Oh, and by the way, Jose Alvarado. And now Estevez, that's four relievers that are all ninth-inning guys.
They went laterally, right? They moved Sir Anthony Dominguez to where we were in Baltimore, probably knowing that they had Estevez.
Yeah, he's better.
On deck. And so
teams are loading up their bullpens, and I get it because baseball in the playoffs, starting pitchers, again, unless you're, you know, really on a Dylan Cease type of a heater, they're not going to let you go more than five or six innings in postseason. Not only are you facing the batting order once, twice, three times, but you're then facing that same team two or three days later, and the analytics say the pitchers aren't as effective, so get to the bullpen. You've got to have more than two. You've got to have more than three. You might even need to have more than four coming out of that pen.
It's a risky. The teams that have won the last two, three titles have all had good starters, though. You're gonna need some starters to get you the distance, because if you go into the postseason on the bullpen, you know, tip,
right,
you're not gonna last.
That might wear out.
You're gonna need some starters to get you some of the way or split up the time, however it may be, but they have starters. So in Philly's case, it makes perfect sense, right? They got Wheeler. They got Nola. They got Suarez. They got dudes, right? So, it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes. Obviously, the Padres would seem to need some starting pitching.
They got to trade for somebody. Look, we heard some good news about Musgrove.
Right.
He's apparently going to throw a couple of innings in Phoenix tomorrow, Peoria. In kind of a, you know, inner squad type of situation, and then hopefully he can make a couple of rehab things and be ready, you know, a little earlier in August than originally thought.
Yep.
But I don't know that you can, even if you were assured that Musgrove was coming back in 10 more days,
you still need one.
That's only at five. You're going to need a sixth. You're just going to need it. And we don't know about Darvish. Some reports, John Heyman said that the Padres might get him back. So, we'll, you know, hopefully that, you know, turns out to be the case. But I'm almost sure AJ is going to have to trade for somebody. But the price tag is ridiculous. I mean, you look at the Cardinals. They got Eric Fetty today. Now, this is Eric Fetty. He's 7-4.
Former National.
Former number five guy for the Nationals. He's 7-4 and has a 3.1 ERA with the White Sox. This is his best year by far he's ever had. He was in South Korea the year before this. And he draws a deal. The Cardinals have to make an 8-player, 3-team trade with the Dodgers and with the White Sox.
I know Edmonds. I know
to bring Fetty in there.
Edmonds going to the Dodgers.
I got it. Dodgers get Tommy Edman, Michael Kopech, reliever.
Yeah.
Cardinals get Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham. White Sox get
Tommy goes back to St. Louis.
Yes. White Sox get three infield prospects from the Dodgers: Miguel Vargas, Alexander Albertus, and Haral Perez.
They gave up Miguel Vargas. Who else did they give up?
Alexander Albertus.
Two guys I haven't heard of.
And Haral Perez.
Yeah. And the Cardinals end up giving up a 17-year-old right-hander, Oliver Gonzalez. Bunch of cash, et cetera.
How does this come about? How do you think a three-team trade comes about?
How do I think?
We're not coming to an agreement, so...
I can't even figure out my computer website password. I don't know.
Well,
this.
You're likely going to need a team like the White Sox to be involved.
Yes,
right?
Because they're willing to just...
Because they're the ones that have the pieces that multiple teams want. So now they get to pick, okay, we'll take these guys from you, we'll take these guys from you, we'll take this cash from you. And they can kind of, you know, because they're not in the business of winning ball games right now. They're in the business of winning, or excuse me, of acquiring talent at this point.
Yes, that's what they're doing.
And so, you know, that's what it takes to get a deal like that done. Chances are both Cardinals, Dodgers were probably, my guess is probably individually talking to the White Sox about clearly different guys that they were targeting.
And they just couldn't come to it, so then they had to add
and
a
so
third
team. So now you bring in a third team in, and, you know, it works out.
Three-team trades don't happen as much in Major League Baseball, right?
It's usually NBA. I would say in the NBA it happens far more often. But it does happen, as we can see there.
I don't think that the acquisition of Tommy Edman, who, by the way, has been injured all year and is just at a rehab assignment right now, and Michael Kopech, who did throw an immaculate inning about a month ago for the White Sox, but hasn't really gotten anybody else out. I don't think these are the two guys that the Dodgers were planning on turning around whatever fortunes they feel need to be turned around. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, 24 more hours what happens here.
What are you saying?
I thought the Dodgers would be looking for something bigger, is what I mean. I don't think they're done. Or I don't think they want to be done. I think the Dodgers want something a lot bigger than Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech.
I think they're in on, what I've read, they're in on Kikuchi, who the Padres are reportedly in on as well.
Yeah.
Is
Crochet, is he just, did he talk himself out of being traded?
First of all, you're not going to bully a team like the Dodgers and say, hey, we want an extension.
Yes, and I'm not going to pitch in the postseason.
Right. Well,
like, what? Who says
this
that?
That was an interesting play. And I think there are other things that it seems like the Dodgers typically stay away from. They don't like to bring on guys who've had, like, injuries that they're concerned about. And so Crochet kind of fits into that. Checks that box too. So he may have talked himself out of being traded out of the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got time. Somebody usually is willing to meet the price. We do know, based on what's moved so far, that the price seems to be pretty steep right now.
Well, fantasy owners everywhere are ready for Garrett Crochet to do something. So he's only pitching like three innings at a time now.
He's a waste of your fantasy spot right now.
Why pitch the guy three innings?
Scraby. They don't run Major League Baseball teams just to take care of your fantasy roster.
Don't ever get me started about Kodai Senga making one start this year,
bro.
And then is out for the year.
He got hurt.
Well, did he forget to work out his calves while he was rehabbing?
Sometimes freak injuries happen, Scraby.
You were over here
angry at everybody because your shoulder wasn't healing as fast. So what are you talking about right now?
I think pitchers might be... I'm going to take that back.
We're going to go to break before you say something that you can't take back. Morgan and Chris on the other side.
Gwen and Chris, everybody present and accounted for today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade food, from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel... What, Scraby? What can they feel?
Magical.
That's right. What sorcery is this?
Magical.
It's none at all. It's just the real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/radio. 240 is the time.
Nice
Matt
job
Snyder,
on that read, Chris.
Set to join
one.
Us from CBS Sports in the wake of a couple of other moves that were made today. Just let me run them by you real quick. Justin Turner went from Toronto to the Mariners. Pirates sent young pitcher Quinn Priester to the Boston Red Sox. Cincinnati Reds got our old guy Ty France after the Mariners designated him for assignment. And the Kansas City Royals have acquired starter Michael Lorenzen from Texas. We have acquired a visit with Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. How are you today, Matt? What's going on? Anything?
I'm very good. A lot of talk. The three-way trade that sent Fetty to the Cardinals was something, but it seems like everybody's waiting to see if the White Sox are going to deal Crochet, if they're going to deal Luis Robert, if the Tigers are going to deal Tarik Skubal. We know that the Tigers scratched Jack Flaherty from his start tonight, but that could just be, in case he's traded. You know, you don't want to risk an injury right when you're about to trade someone. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he's gone, but it's a signal that they're trying to deal him. Other than the Rays, we haven't really started to move the big names yet. And it seems like the Rays are still going to trade Yandy Diaz as well.
Lot to be sorted out here, Matt, because there are so many teams still smack dab in the thick of it. And what's your read? The Padres end up moving three of their top 12 prospects. They get Jason Adam. And it seemed, but just at first glance, Chris and I were talking about this, it seemed like a steep price tag. What was your read on it?
It might be, yeah. But, you know, I think we can all see it's pretty evident. This is a win-now team, and we're not as worried about the future here. And, the minors right now are not in that good shape. If you talk to any level of evaluators, and they would say, like, a top 50 prospect right now is about as good as a top 200 prospect 10, 15 years ago. Like, the minors is just not as good. So it might sound a little steeper than it actually is. And we know from years and years and years of doing this, sometimes one of the guys you trade away becomes a stud. I think San Diego would be familiar with the James Shields trade that brought Fernando Tatis Jr. But a lot of other times, none of these players pan out. Yeah. So it's hit or miss here. And I think as long as you're close, you should go for it. And the examples would be like, it's not just the Diamondbacks last year with 84 wins. It's the 2022 Phillies, the 2021 Braves, the 2014 Royals. There were so many teams that looked like they were just mediocre at this point in the season and ended up either making the World Series or winning the World Series. So I think when you're close enough, you've got to go for it.
First, more often than not, you're right. The team that gets the big leaguer usually wins out in these deals.
Yes.
But I asked that question not necessarily about the Padres and whether it was a good deal for them. I was really asking in the context of, man, if that's what it costs for a high-end reliever, what is the price tag going to be for some of these starters that it seems like all the teams are coveting at this point?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get your question correct, man.
You're good.
It seems like it's going to be pretty steep. But as we get closer and closer to the deadline, teams are going to have to make a decision here. And if you're the Tigers and Jack Flaherty's not in your long-term plans, and if you're the White Sox and Garrett Crochet is probably going to be gone in free agency before you can contend again, I think you strike while the iron's hot and it's a seller's market. So, it'll be steeper to get the starters, but there becomes a point in time where everybody walks away. And it's one of the main buyers who's looking for starting pitching is the Orioles, and they're notoriously holding on to prospects. So there will be a point where the asking price gets too high and the teams just say, fine, we'll go with what we have. So I think once we get closer to the deadline, it might shake things loose a little bit there.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, always gracious enough to join us, especially the day before the trade deadline when a lot of people are making a lot of phone calls, and we really do appreciate the time, Matt. What is the next 24 hours like in the life of a general manager? How close can you go to kind of telling us what the likes of A.J. Preller and the rest of these guys are doing for the next 24 hours? Are they honestly just sitting there making call after call after call? Are they sweating it out? Are agents calling, trying to make things happen? How nuts is this right here?
I think there's a lot of delegation that goes on. And sometimes I do think, obviously, once it gets close to the finish line, Preller would need to be on the horn with whatever general manager or club president they're dealing with. Let's just say it's Chris Getz of the White Sox. But before you get closer to the finish line, I think there's a lot of exchanging names and tossing out ideas, which come from people ranked below the main boss there. So I still think it's incredibly hectic. You just have to delegate because you can't keep up with everything, every conversation that needs to be had. And especially seeing something like, for example, the Cubs trading for Isak Paredes. Something like that can't come about if Jed Hoyer is just sitting around and saying, you know
what,
we're not really going to sell that much because we're in limbo here between a buyer and a seller, so maybe we'll just be quiet. Unless you're having tons of conversations, you don't even stumble on the idea of, hey, they'd give us Paredes if we included Morel. You don't stumble on that idea if you're content to stand pat. So they have to be having tons of conversations.
Matt, one of the teams that's interesting that seems like they're kind of it also in that, I don't know, that kind of midpoint, whether to buy or sell, is the Toronto Blue Jays. They have moved Turner today. It sounds like Kikuchi is a guy that teams are calling on. Do you think they end up moving Vlad Jr. or Bichette in this deadline, or do you think that's an off-season deal?
I think it could be argued that they should. But every bit of reporting we've done and every indication we have is that they think they have enough of a foundation in place that they can contend next year, and they're still hoping to extend both Bichette and Vlad, so they're going to hold on to them. And they're basically only going to move guys who were up at the end of the year and are rentals, like Kikuchi and like Justin Turner. So that being the case, there's probably not that much more for them to move. So it's a lot of their guys are locked up, like, they've got, four more years on Berrios. Gausman has 3 more years. Chris Bassett has 2 more years. And Vlad and Bichette aren't up until after next season. So I think they want to keep that core and build around it. So that means the rentals, like Turner, maybe Kevin Kiermaier, he's a rental, stuff like that. But in Kikuchi, I think those are going to be the main ones because they're just going to try to do a better job of building around the guys that they have signed through next year.
Tell us a little bit about what you know about Jason Adam. For those who aren't familiar, this guy's been with a few different teams. He pitched in the World Series for Tampa Bay a couple of years ago or in that playoff run. Every time I've seen him pitch, he's pretty much lights out. He's got ERA under 3. You can't have too much relief, right, heading into if you're going to make a postseason run. So this move makes a lot of sense. It gives the Padres maybe 2, maybe 3 eighth inning guys ahead of Suarez now.
Yes, absolutely. It's he has really, really good stuff. He had a terrible season for the Cubs a few years ago, and then the Rays picked him up and basically just fixed him, which happens sometimes. But high strikeout rate when he's on, doesn't walk many guys. He's going to be mostly 4-seam fastball, as most relievers are. But his out pitches, he can use a change slider or a sweeper. With slider, sweeper, they're pretty similar, but it's a different shape to it. But he is relying on a change, which I guess you don't see as much in relievers these days. Or what, they're usually like fastball slider or something like that. It's like a throwback to Trevor Hoffman with the fastball change. But yeah, he uses a change about a fourth of the time.
Matt, lastly for me, Blake Snell, he took a long time to find a home. He eventually did with the Giants. They're another one of these teams that are kind of in that no man's land. You're starting to hear reports on teams calling in on Blake Snell. Do you think that's kind of a pie in the sky idea, or do you think that's actually something that could happen?
I think there's a chance he goes. Now, it's interesting, 3.5 games out, it doesn't. Farhan Zaidi is the type of guy who gives up when they're only 3.5 games out. That's like a Rays move, right? They just gave up.
Right.
It doesn't feel like they will, but it's always possible they'll see a package that they like, and they continue to get healthier in the rotation anyway. They just got Robbie Ray back. Alex Cobb will be back. They could probably fill a rotation without Snell if they look at it like, hey, we can get something back for Snell. Maybe they'll want something closer to big league ready to help the offense. Maybe they would move on from that because he just has the player option for next year. But most people think he's just going to hit free agency again and try to sign with the team earlier and get a longer term deal. So if they viewed him as a rental and they thought they could get something back, it might make sense to move him and kind of do it in a way that helps them this year as well as for the future. I wouldn't mind seeing him go back to San Diego. That'd be pretty fun.
There's a bunch of people out here that wouldn't mind seeing him back in the Padre uniform.
since he came back from the IL, he's looking like last year again. These last 4 starts, 0.75 ERA.
Yeah, yeah. Blake and Tony were good buddies, so definitely want to get Blake back.
That $30 million player option is probably the thing that scares
us. That's why we probably can't have him, Tony, because you're not willing to give up any of your salary to help sign the guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think most people think he's definitely going to not exercise it, but it is a risk.
It
is. If you're worried about salary for next year, that he could always say, hey, I'm just going to exercise it and stay here. So there are teams who would be scared off by that. Off the top of my head, the Orioles, I think, would be scared off by that.
Matt, it's always great having you with us. I just want to, the Padres just finished a 7-2 road trip that included taking series from Cleveland and Baltimore. That, to me, establishes you as something. Now, I know they're right in the middle of this wild card. There's six teams within 3.5 games. Is what they've done, though, kind of convinced anybody around baseball that this is a team that, if they make the right move and they get into the postseason, that you better be worried?
Yeah, me. I think they definitely could be. My power rankings intro today, I wrote both the Diamondbacks and Padres. The way things are moving for them, the way things are coming together, I think they're both going to be dangerous in the postseason, assuming they make it, which is it is a big leap because there's so many teams right there, and you don't know who's going to get hot at the right time. But if they get in, and I assume it'll be a wild card, it's 6.5, 7.5 out behind the Dodgers as a stretch. They'll start getting a little healthier. But yeah, I think they definitely could be dangerous. But you know, then again, you could lose in the wild card round. It's such a short series. So many fluky things happen these days. But I do think the level of talent that they've had, the injuries they've already dealt with, assuming they can get everybody right, you need to be firing on all cylinders when you get there. So you need luck in addition to being good. But they definitely have the firepower that if they make it, they could get hot, yes.
And I joked with Tony that if Profar would have cleared the bases with a double in the ninth inning and completed that comeback, they might have had to give him the MVP award right there. I know it's a joke, but where do you put Profar in the MVP list right about now in the National League? We put him way too high because we've seen him here all year.
Yeah.
But
Second place is kind of open.
Really?
Right? Like it's Ohtani and then everybody else.
Okay.
I think Bryce Harper's got to be up there. Christian Yelich would be up there, but now he has that back injury, and it's worrisome. They said he might have to have surgery. Mookie was up there, but he's been hurt for a while. He's been out for a while. So it seems like it's Ohtani and then everybody else. Francisco Lindor, if the Mets keep playing like this and he keeps playing like he's playing, he's going to be up there. I think Ketel Marte deserves a lot more credit than he's getting in holding up the Diamondbacks, especially with Corbin Carroll being so bad. Ketel Marte has been amazing. So Profar's probably in that tier with guys like Marte and Lindor, where you could see them continuing to make it push, but it just feels like everybody's playing for second right now.
Yeah, it's still been a great story out here for sure all year long. And Matt, we thank you so much for the time. Have fun the next 24 hours. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh,
thanks,
I
Matt.
Will. All right, have a good one.
All right, there he goes, Matt Snyder. CBS Sports, the latest on the trade deadline and the Padres and Profar. If the guy finished second in the MVP balloting, that would be, like, unbelievable. Considering the career that he's, you know, had.
It would be
in his 12th year to come up with a second-place finish.
Do you think you could find odds on what that was at the beginning of the season?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
You could have put, like, a very small amount on and
you could have bought a house even in San Diego on that, on those odds.
Right, it's been fun to watch, like you said.
Oh, man, has it. All right, we'll take a break. More Gwen and Chris coming up, including a Daily Gambit in hour number two.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.